Christ is risen. All right, this morning we're going to do a little something different. We're going to be taking a look at the Easter dates, if you will. There was a couple ideas I had as I was looking at the Passover dates and then the dates for the Monday, Thursday for the Passover, where Jesus would celebrate it, the day that he died, the day that he rose again, coordinating kind of the Old Testament and their months. For example, the month of Nisan, they follow a calendar that is based upon the moon. It's lunar. And so we follow a calendar that is pretty well solar, divided among 12 months, if you will. And so as things progressed over history, there were some questions concerning the Christians. Well, when are we going to celebrate Easter? When are we going to celebrate? Some said, well, in the Old Testament, when they celebrated Passover, they always celebrated on Nisan 14. We ought to do it on that date. But then they said, but if you do it on that date, you may not be celebrating it on a Sunday, because if it goes according to the moon, it's going to vary, and it might be on a different day of the week, which... Well, Christmas, by us having it on December 25th, it kind of rotates through the days of the week, and sometimes it's this day, and sometimes it's that day. But Easter kind of seemed to be a little different. Why? Yeah, because he rose not just someday, but he rose Sunday, which is the first day of the week. And so, actually... Early on, there were those who were referred to as quatuor decimans, which is the Latin term for 14. They were the 14ers. And as it turns out, it would appear St. John, who was the oldest of the apostles, his disciple, I mentioned him last night in the sermon, Polycarp, that... wanted it celebrated on Nisan 14. By about the 2nd century, there was others who were saying, no, we would like it to be on a Sunday. And so there were arguments about what day. One, because of it being the first day of the week and the beginning of our week. But also, probably more importantly, was... The Jews that rejected Christ continued to celebrate the Passover on Nisan 14. As a matter of confession, we wanted to say, no, actually, you know, we are Christians. We see it all coming to fulfillment in Christ. They finally worked it out, and probably this year it makes a little more sense to us than other years. They worked it out, so as I said, all right, it's going to... When are we going to celebrate this? Well, it's going to have to be a Sunday. Okay. It's going to have to be after the full moon, because the full moon was the time in which you celebrated Passover. And it's also going to have to be after the spring equinox. So, the first Sunday after Passover, after the spring equinox... was the way they came to the date. So, spring equinox, you've got the sun going around the earth. When it gets to the point in which the days and the nights are exactly the same, that's where the spring equinox, then the first full moon that comes after that, which would be the Passover, and then for us it would be the first Sunday after that. Now, we've got a eclipse coming up. That'll be on Monday, April 8th. when there is an eclipse, there is, and once again, you've got to kind of go, okay, what phase is the moon whenever there is an eclipse? Well, if it's a full moon, it's in the middle of the night. And so the moon comes up when it gets dark, and it's up, and about midnight it's overhead, and then, you know, when you're waking up, it's going down. That's a full moon. If there's going to be an eclipse so that the moon will cover the sun, it can't be during a full moon. It's got to be during a new moon, which is the exact opposite, in which when we wake up, the moon is coming up, then at noon, it's up overhead where it can block the sun, and then it will go down. So it's during a new moon. So there's been a full moon, and then you've got to count approximately 14 days to get to a new moon so we can have an eclipse. But that also brings up the point. On Good Friday, there was darkness in the middle of the day from noon until 3. It couldn't be an eclipse because that's the time of the full moon. The moon wasn't in the sky, only at night. So, you know, when those say, oh, well, that was just, to, you know, it, no, it wasn't. You know, what was it? No. That was our Heavenly Father showing us his rejection of Christ for our sins, that we might be received. So, the timing of this, kind of the controversy in the early church over what day are you going to celebrate, finally there was Saint Irenaeus who said, you know, disagreement in traditions does not destroy the unity in faith. If some celebrate it on a different day, fine. It's the doctrine that we're united in. But I thought we'd go forward even a little bit more. I included for you and found a website. There are, I guess you would say, things have gotten worse. Worse in the sense that not only are there those who kind of question Christianity and things of this sort, there has always been, if you search for some of these things online, you will find that there are quite a few websites. Let's see if I can find. What? I looked at this earlier, so I know it's not a problem. Let's see here. There are quite a few websites that have a kind of crazy idea. They, let's see if it comes up. I can't remember the group. Yeah, I'll go back and get it. But there's a group of those who have looked at Jesus who talks about Jonah, who was in the belly of the fish, and says that that's a type of Christ. As he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so also, and then says, see, that's a type of Christ who was buried and then comes back to life. And then they do this thing in which they will go, well, he's got to be in the grave 3 days and three nights in order to fulfill that. Well, the traditional reckoning, which is Jesus dying Friday at 3 p.m., they put him in the tomb by 6 p.m. on Friday. They stay home for the Sabbath all day Saturday. And then Sunday morning, we would say, by 6 a.m., you know, the tomb is open and he's not there. So I was mentioning this on Good Friday, and I said, so, you know, How many hours is Jesus in the tomb? Friday at 6 p.m. How far till Saturday at 6 p.m.? 24. And then another 12 hours to go to 6 a.m. Pretty well 36 hours he's in the tomb. Now, we say that he was risen on the third day because you count the day that it happens, and then it was just an hour or two, and you count the next day, and you count part of the following, so the third day, part of this day, and all of this day. That's the way it's always been reckoned. But there are those who have said, oh, it's got to be 3 days and three nights. They have Jesus dying on Wednesday. And you go, I'm sorry, as if all of a sudden we messed it up for 2,000 years or something. So you got to be careful when you see kind of the timelines that they put up. It just doesn't mesh with the Old Testament as well as with the New. But you do have this little problem, and this little problem is this. Not only does the Jewish reckoning go by month, that is, it's lunar, and the Roman and the New Testament has a solar, but the Jews reckon time from, and there was evening and there was morning the first day. So for them, when I say Nisan 14, it starts at night, 6 p.m., and goes till 6 p.m. the next. So for them, the night and the day go together. But for us, we would always say, well, no, the morning, Monday morning and Monday evening go together. We would put the morning before the evening. And, you know, if you add that to our modern kind of, you know, the digital watch tells me 12 p.m., you know, you got all cranes. So it's a little bit crazy. But I thought, you know, I think we're going to take a look at the historicity of Jesus' death and resurrection. That is, it's become popular to not just question kind of the days and to question this. In fact, to question the whole thing and to say, oh, no, this Christianity, it's just a new made-up religion. And it took the old pagan religion, it took the old worship of the sun god, and then they took it and put it on top of that and said, oh, we're going to make our Jesus the Son of God. And so with his resurrection, that's when the light starts to get more, and it just replaces the old worship of the sun god. And so that's why. It's just not true. It's just not true at all. So, you'll see on your sheet, this article says, April 3rd, A.D. 33. Why we believe we can know the exact date that Jesus died. It talks about virtually all scholars, for various reasons, believe that Jesus was crucified in the spring of either 30 A.D. or 33, with the majority opting for the former. This one happens to go forth and set the date at Friday, April 3rd, from 33 A.D. Now, we talk about Jesus dying when, you know, having a three-year ministry, him beginning his ministry pretty well when he is 30, and so with the three-year ministry, he would have died at A.D. 33, who had died when he was 33 years old. Todd. So, A.D. stands for Anno Domini. Anno is in the year. Domini is our Lord. So, if we do B.C. is before Christ and A.D. is after his death, we're missing about 33 years of time. So it's before Christ and in the year of our Lord. So it starts with zero and goes forward. So very good, very good. To be clear, the Bible doesn't explicitly specify the precise date of Jesus' crucifixion. And let's say it's not essential salvation truth that we know the exact date, but that doesn't make it unknowable or even unimportant. Christianity is not an ideology. It's not I've got a concept. It is a historical religion. It's been built on the events of Christ's life, and it did take place historically in human history along other known events. So it can be helpful to show you some of those things that tell us when it happened. It's a bit complex, but sometimes you take a look at those things. We start with the year of John the Baptist's ministry. Luke implies that John the Baptist began his public ministry shortly before Jesus did. And he gives a historical reference point for when the Baptist ministry began. It says in Luke 3:1, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. And so we now have a secular date that we can start figuring things out from. We know from the Roman historians that Tiberius succeeded Augustus as emperor and was confirmed by the Roman Senate on August 19th, AD 14. He ruled until AD 37. The 15th year of the reign of Tiberius sounds like a pretty straightforward date, but it's not always. There are some ambiguities, beginning with when one starts the calculation. Most likely, Tiberius' reign was counted either from the day he took office, AD 14, or from January 1st of the following year, AD 15. The earliest possible date for this Tiberius' 15th year that he began would be August 19th, AD 28. The latest possible date would be December 31st, AD 29. So, John the Baptist ministry, we know it had to begin anywhere from about the mid AD 28s until sometime in AD 29. So, John begins his ministry and he prepares the way for the Lord. How about Jesus' ministry? Well, if Jesus, as the Gospels seem to indicate, began his ministry not long after John, then based on the calculations above, the earliest date for Jesus' baptism would be late AD 28 at the earliest. However, it's more probable to place it sometime in the first half of the year of AD 29 because a few months probably elapsed between the beginning of John's ministry and that of Jesus. So that the year AD 30 is the latest possible date. So, Jesus' ministry must have begun between AD 28 and AD 30 at the latest. This coheres with Luke's mention that Jesus began his ministry and he was about 30 years of age. Luke 3:23. So, if Jesus was born 6-5 BC, and there's some questions about that. Most will not put it actually at zero. They usually put it at 3 to 4, but Jesus would have approximately been 32 to 34 years old between AD and AD 30. It falls quite well between the ages of about 30 years. How about the length of Jesus' ministry? How long did it last? It went on for 2 or more years. This would seem to rule out the spring of AD 30 as a possible date for the crucifixions because it wouldn't fall within that. How do we get this 3-year ministry? The Gospels mention that Jesus attended at least 3 Passovers, and, well, it all depends on how you count them. Some people say he attended 4. Which took place once a year in the spring. So John 2 has a Passover in Jerusalem at the start. John 6, a Passover in Galilee midway through his ministry. There was a final Passover at the end of his public ministry. This is the time of his crucifixion. Goes on to say, and Jesus may have attended one more Passover, not recorded in John, but perhaps in one of the several of the other synoptic Gospels. If that was the case, it would be before this one. Most will simply deal with the 3 that are there. even if there were only three Passovers, this would make a date of AD 30, but all but impossible for the date of the crucifixion. So as noted above, the earliest date for the beginning from Luke 3:1 is late AD 28. So the first of these Passovers would fall on Nisan 15 in AD 29, the second in AD 30 at the earliest, and the third would fall in 31 at the earliest. This means if Jesus' ministry coincided with at least these three Passovers, and if the first Passover was in AD 29, he could not have been crucified in AD 30. But if Jesus began his ministry in AD 29, well, then Jesus probably would begin his ministry in late AD 29, early AD 30. So the Passover dates would fall like this. 30, 31, 32, and these two then, if you had a fourth one here, most are going to put it at that 32 or 33. So, when was Jesus crucified? Jesus was crucified on the day of preparation for the Passover. Jesus, or John also mentions that Jesus was crucified on the day of preparation. That is the Friday before the Sabbath of Passover week. So that Saturday would be the high festival of the Passover. It would have been that Saturday. So the day before that is considered preparation day, where you get everything ready. And then, so the night before, on Thursday evening, Jesus ate a Passover meal with the 12 and had his Last Supper. In the Pharisaic rabbinic calendar, commonly used in Jews' days, the Passover always falls on the 15th day of Nisan, which begins Thursday after sundown and ends Friday at sundown. In the year AD 33, the most likely year of Jesus' crucifixion, Nisan 15, fell on April 3rd, yielding April 3rd, AD 33, as the most likely date for the crucifixion. If I show you, let's see, I think I put it on here. Even if you look on the back of your sheet that I handed out to you, you can see, don't worry about the big line, right above it, you can see that there were a seven-day feast of unleavened bread. The first day is considered a high day. The last day is considered a special Sabbath. If we count from pretty well six, seven, you kind of go down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. There was a festival on day 1, and there was a festival on day 7. It was a week long. So sometimes when the scriptures say we're celebrating the Passover, they mean all 7 days. And sometimes when they speak of it, they're simply talking about this first high day that is listed here. This particular chart, as you see right above it, talks about the three nights and lets us know that it's not Wednesday to Friday kind of thing, but it's actually parts of one day that puts it all together. So, on AD 33, Nisan 14, which really starts Wednesday at nightfall to Thursday at nightfall, that was the day of preparation. He sends his disciples to go into Jerusalem to prepare the meal. They get there at night, which would start the next day, and they have the Last Supper. Nisan 15 begins Thursday at nightfall to Friday at nightfall. This is when the Jews would celebrate the Passover. But you might remember, because Judas came to them and said, "What will you give me?" They're like, "Ooh, let's get this done." And so it's happening at the wrong time for them. It's happening when they're supposed to be celebrating the Passover. And again, we're talking about not just the first day, but longer. And so, when they take Jesus before Pontius Pilate, and they want Pontius Pilate to condemn him to crucifixion and to death, the gospel reading says, and they wouldn't go into his house, and Pilate had to come out to the pavement. You might think of kind of a porch area. And so, this was pretty common. Why? If a Jew went into the house of a Gentile, he was rendered unclean. If you're rendered unclean, you can't celebrate the Passover. So Pilate will come outside and hold the court and that outside, and they would hear him. So that's what they were doing when they come out. And so the crucifixion happens. Now the Sabbath, that begins Friday at nightfall. That would have been when they hurried up, got Jesus in the tomb before 6, lasting until Saturday nightfall. Sunday, beginning at this, Nisan 17, would be the first day of the week. So Jesus dies on Nisan 15. He's in the tomb for part of it, all of that, and he rises again April 5th, or Nisan 17. The above calculations may appear complicated, but in a nutshell, it runs this way. If the begin of Tiberius' reign was AD 14, then the 15th year of Tiberius' reign was the beginning of John the Baptist's ministry. After he is preaching and teaching and the people are coming out to him, you might remember John the Baptist is how much older than Jesus? 6 months. So most people put that in 3 to 6 months or something like that before Jesus comes to him, and Jesus begins his ministry AD 29. He's got a 3-year duration at minimum. They put the most likely date of the crucifixion being AD 33, April 3rd, and then him rising on the third day. While this is, in our judgment, the most likely scenario, it should be acknowledged that many believe that Jesus was crucified in the year AD 30, not 33, which is possible. However, if the beginning of Tiberius' reign is placed in the year AD 14, it's virtually impossible to make that happen. Going on down, we conclude that Jesus was most likely crucified April 3rd, AD 33. While other dates are possible, believers can take great assurance from the fact that the most important historical events in Jesus' life, such as the crucifixion, are firmly anchored in human history. As we celebrate Easter and as we walk with Jesus every day of the year, we can therefore be confident that our faith is based not on subjective personal assurance, but on reliable historical data, which makes ours an eminently reasonable faith. When there are those who deny the historicity of Jesus, either birth or death or crucifixion, there is as much or even more evidence, data, fits in with secular history, as much as the historicity of George Washington being the first president. Why do you believe that George Washington was the first president? Ask them. Have they looked at the data? Have they researched it? There are witnesses of it. There's history and correspondence. You've got the same thing with Jesus. Okay, comments, questions? Correct. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, you've mentioned before, now that you spoke up, for those who are in the judicial, law enforcement, other things, when you call witnesses, they don't say exactly the same words, it's exactly the same way about, they all have a perspective, what they see. It would be suspicious, exactly, if it was exactly the same words at the end. You would say, yeah, you guys got together. It was collusion. Yep. What do we find with the four Gospels? We find that they do agree. Are they exactly the same? No. We've got, you know, but that lets us know of the historicity of those accounts. Brian. And it does say that, doesn't he? The Josephus is the Jewish historian. Again, he is not a Christian. When your enemy admits something, that holds even more weight than if your friend admits something. So when someone who is not a Christian, who doesn't believe in Christ, who doesn't believe in the Christian faith, admits that there is a Jesus of Nazareth, and here is what is taught, and here is what, you know, yes, that is our, and that one is very early, is, you know, soon after after Christ. I had a couple other hands. Michael? They do. Shirley? Yes. So this is where you have this longer 7-day feast. It doesn't mean that they didn't have their meal before that or other, but you know, if I'm going to celebrate all 7 days of this festival, I can't go in there. It's not a one-time event. That's why I'm saying it's a little longer. So anyway, that maybe that helps. They would have. Yep. Right. So Thursday day was preparation. There would have been, I can't remember what they say, 10,000 lambs killed, you know, in connection with the temple. They talk about the river running red due to the large number of lambs that were killed. So. Under John.
These are guys who knew the guys who were there and saw it themselves. And, you know, they knew, they also knew what happened to some of the people who were willing to die. You know, the idea that I'm willing to suffer death for this thing that I saw and I believe, you know, that's quite a testament, really. You know, most people aren't willing to die for something that they think just doesn't happen.
Good point. All right, let's have a prayer and conclude. Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for your sending of your Son, the one who took our sins upon himself that we might be set free from the punishment of our sins. And so on this day, we rejoice with you in our Lord's resurrection from the dead. And we look forward to our own resurrection from the dead when he returns again on the last day. In Jesus' name we pray.